My name's Brian Pfeiffer. Good morning, everybody. Title of my presentation is What's Changing from the Last 50 or 60 Years of Sorghum Breeding? And in order to start this story, we're going to look at what's changing in sorghum production over time, from about the 1920s to today. All right, here. So on the left-hand side of the screen here, we have sorghum hectares in the United States from about the 1920s till today. Production harvested and planted peaked in about 1957, and it's decreased almost every year since then. Last year, American farmers planted about 2.2 million hectares of this crop. And on the right side of the screen, you see sorghum yield over time. The good news is that yields are improving over time, but most of these increases came in the 1950s and 1960s as we were converting from growing varieties to growing hybrids. Yields have kind of stagnated since the 1980s, but last year American farmers did have their highest yield on average at 4.7 tons per hectare. Sorghum has the lowest rate of annual yield gains of any of the major U.S. field crops, only 0.56%. On this graph here, you can see that corn is shown in the red line and sorghum is shown in the green line. The disparity between the two is not so different in 1970, but by the difference in the rate of on-farm yield gain is so different that the disparity gets wider and wider. And this map here shows that not only are we producing less sorghum, but where we're growing it as well is changing. No longer are we producing sorghum in states like Nebraska, and even in the main sorghum producing states like Kansas and Texas, there are fewer counties that are producing significant amounts of sorghum. So sorghum is definitely moving to more marginal lands in the United States, and it's being displaced by other more higher input crops like corn. So all this information is concerning to the sorghum industry and all stakeholders involved, from growers to researchers. And so as a plant breeder, I was wondering, what's changing over time within our breeding programs? Can we assess our current progress in our sorghum breeding programs and maybe create new strategies to get sorghum back on the right track? And one way to do this is era studies, where you grow old and new hybrids together and evaluate them and see what is changing within a breeding program over time. Unfortunately, in sorghum, there's not a lot of information already out there like there are in many other of our major field crops. There was one study that was done in the Texas A&M AgriLife Research Sorghum Breeding Program in the 1980s when they compared the old hybrids the 1950s to then the new hybrids the 1980s. They saw that yield was increasing and that also there were many other traits that were changing as well in addition to yield. But 1980 was a long time ago. That's when yields started to stagnate in sorghum, and that only really represents the halfway point in the hybrid sorghum breeding era today. So I wanted to ask this question as part of my PhD research, and we went to work to create old and new hybrids from the Texas A&M AgriLife Research Sorghum Breeding Program that represented the late 1950s until today. In total, we created 60 of these old and new hybrids. And we grew them in 7 diverse locations across the state of Texas in the year 2016. In addition, we grew 20 inbred parents that helped make up some of these hybrids. And we also partner with a private U.S. sorghum breeding company that has a long history breeding sorghum. And in total, they included 14 of their hybrids for inclusion in the study. So we grew these hybrids in these different environments. We measured different traits. Yield is the example of this slide. And so we calculated bluffs and best linear unbiased predictors for each trait for each of the hybrids in the study. And we regressed them along the x-axis, which is the year the hybrid was released. And you can tell from the trend line here, the slope of the line, if the trait is changing over time within our breeding program. So for yield, we see here that there was a significant genotype and G by E effect in this study. And from the slope of the line, you can see that yield is increasing slightly within the Texas A&M breeding program at the rate of 0.008 tons per hectare annually. So not very much improvement, but it is consistently improving over time. So that was good to see, but we would like to see that number be higher. Other yield components were also increasing over time as well. On the left-hand side of the screen, we have grain number per panicle, and you can see that we're adding 13 grains on average each year, with hybrids in our breeding program, and panicle size. Not only we're having more seeds per panicle, but panicles are also getting larger at this rate shown here. Now, not all traits are increasing over time in our breeding program. On the left, we have leaf angle. In maize, leaf angles have become very more acute over time as years of breeding go on. We have a very poor R-squared on this trait, and you can see here that there's not much relationship. So I think we can fairly say that leaf angle is not changing over time within the Texas A&M breeding program in sorghum. Plant height also is not changing very much at all either. That's shown on the right-hand side of the screen. It's actually going down maybe slightly, but it seems like it's a trait that's pretty much been held constant, and plants are maybe slightly shorter on the newer varieties than the older hybrids. Some other traits quickly, test weight is improving over time. On the left-hand side of the screen, you can see that. And on the right side, 500 seed weight, we measured that, and it looks like seed weight is going down by about 0.04 grams annually. So maybe we have larger panicles with more seed, but the weight of those seeds are actually decreasing. So we measured biomass, a composition of these grain sorghum hybrids in just one of these environments in College Station 2016. And there was one trait that I'd like to point out that was very interesting. Sucrose is decreasing kind of rapidly in the biomass of these grain sorghum hybrids. That's interesting, and my theory on this, but there's obviously more research that needs to be done to confirm this phenomenon, but my theory is that, you know, modern grain sorghum hybrids are becoming more efficient at using the available assimilate in order for grain production versus other reasons. So we also looked at 14 hybrids from a U.S. Private sorghum breeding company, and you can see from this slope of the line that yields increasing among their hybrids as well, by the rate of 0.008 tons per hectare annually. That's the same rate that we saw in our Texas A&M, a public breeding program. And there was also a paper published in 2015 from Advanta Seeds, a sorghum, grain sorghum breeding program in Argentina. And they also found that their rate of genetic gain in their breeding program was 0.008 tons per hectare annually. So it's very interesting to me that a public breeding program, a private US breeding program, and also this private company in Argentina, all are showing very similar rates of genetic yield gain in sorghum. So because we grew the inbred parents of the hybrids that we studied in this experiment, we were able to calculate heterosis as well. I calculated relative heterosis, and we've already seen this data up here on the left. These red dots represent the hybrid genetic gain, 0.008 tons per hectare annually. The blue line represents inbred genetic gain. It's increasing at the rate of 0.003 tons per hectare annually, so a slower rate than the hybrids. This is interesting because in maize, actually inbred genetic gain is increasing faster than hybrid genetic gain. This may be explained in sorghum because sorghum is a naturally self-pollinated crop. We had very good inbreds when we started the hybrid sorghum breeding era. That's what we grew. We grew varieties at that point in time. And the hybrids were not very good at the start of that era. They are catching up, and we're getting better at unleashing the hybrid vigor. So this disparity here, a greater hybrid genetic gain versus inbred genetic gain, is leading to an increase in heterosis by 0.11% on average each year. This is the last result slide here. One of the fun things to do with these types of studies is determine how much of the yield gain is coming from the genetic portion versus better farming practices. Here on the red, we have the results of my experiment, hybrid genetic gain in the Texas A&M breeding program. We also have here in blue the USDA estimated on-farm yield averages for the state of Texas over the same time period. And obviously, the on-farm rate of gain is higher than the breeding program genetic gain. But the ratio here gives us the indication that about 62% of the yield gains is due to plant breeding genetics versus the rest of it coming from better farming practices. So not only is yield changing, we can have four categories of other traits that are changing as well. We have traits that are improving because plant breeders have intended to improve them over time. We also have traits that haven't changed at all, and because plant breeders have tried to hold those traits constant. In this bottom left here, we have traits that have changed over time due to indirect selection. They accidentally changed for selecting for other things like grain yield. And this final box here, there's just some traits that aren't changing very much at all. So traits that are changing because plant breeders want them to change. Yield, we can also say yield potential per plant because panicles are getting larger. We're having more seed per panicle. That's not true for all crops. And then also heterosis is improving too, and breeders want to see that. There's some traits that haven't changed. Breeders have tried to hold a flowering time constant and also the height of the plant constant. Perhaps that's lowered a little bit over time. Some traits down here have changed, but breeders haven't necessarily selected for them per se. Test weight, the size of the panicle, not always measured directly by plant breeders. We don't count the number of grains per panicle as a selection method, but that seems to have changed over time accidentally. And we definitely don't measure the percent of sucrose in the biomass of these grain sorghum hybrids, but that seems to have accidentally changed through indirect selection. And leaf angle, very surprisingly, hasn't changed much at all for sorghum, and that may have a little bit to do with how sorghum is grown in Texas. So that's kind of like my assessment of what's happened over time in the sorghum breeding program. Now is the time to kind of think about strategies for future improvement to see how we can get sorghum back on the right track. Why are gains slower in sorghum than some of these other crops? Well, I have to say that it's not one good answer for that. There's many different pieces of a puzzle to make up a bigger picture. I think in sorghum that yield is a little bit less important than in other crops compared to some defensive traits. This has to do with how sorghum is being grown. If yield was more important, they'd be growing a high input crop. Heterotic groups are also poorly developed in sorghum. That has to do with the cytoplasmic male sterility system that we use. And for something to be a female, it has to be able to be sterilized as a bee line. And sterilization of these female lines is also a tedious process. It takes many years of backcrossing to create a male sterile inbred line. And that decreases the efficiency of the breeding program on the female side. There's also a lot lower of a investment in research and development in sorghum compared to many of the other major U.S. field crops, especially ones with transgenic technologies. As we showed that where sorghum is being grown is shifting constantly. There's a shifting target environment, and we're breeding for a new area that maybe we would have been breeding for in the 1980s. And there's also some unrealistic phenotype constraints on our crop. Sorghum is kind of a short crop. It could be taller. It is getting slightly shorter over time. Because of the really big correlation between plant height and grain yield, this is interesting. Taller plants could probably get us a little bit more gain in the yield department. But the good news is that there's several technologies coming online that I think really could increase the rate of genetic gain in sorghum. Double haploids is not something we've used at all in sorghum previously. It's had great benefit in crops like corn and wheat. We have some promising new research that shows that we could develop a double haploid system in sorghum. High throughput phenotyping, lots of presentations on this at this conference. Breeder eye can only see so much. So new methods of looking at things, new traits that we can measure could help increase genetic gain. Genomic selection is already having a major impact in many of the other major U.S. field crops. This is beginning to be utilized in breeding programs in sorghum, and I think will really help our genetic gain. And I also mentioned that sterilizing female lines is kind of difficult. It's tedious. It takes many years of backcrossing. Perhaps the utilization of temporal male sterility products like gametocytes could allow us to temporarily sterilize female lines, and we won't have to go through those many years of backcrossing. So that's my presentation. I don't have a formal acknowledgement slide, but I'll leave you here with a picture of our research group in the Texas A&M AgriLife Research Sorghum Breeding Program. This is taken from our pollination nursery this summer in College Station. So thank you very much for your attention. I'll be happy to answer any of the questions you might have.